And our final speaker is Heidi Rimke from the Ottawa Coalition Against the Tories.
On behalf of the Ottawa Coalition Against the Tories and the Executive Council of QP 4600, I'd like to thank you all for coming out and joining us tonight. I'd also like to thank QP Ontario and the Ottawa Carleton QP District Council for providing resources for this public forum. I'd also like to thank John and Sid for coming and speaking to us tonight. One last thanks to my sisters and brothers at OCAP for allowing me to speak tonight. Before I begin actually talking about the Common Front campaign and what needs to be done in Ottawa to build a very strong local force, is I want to make three announcements for OCAD events and activities. First of all, we're holding a Common Front Solidarity Night next Friday night at Irene's Pub at 8 o'clock. Guaranteed to be fun, and it's not a meeting, so come on out. Second, OCAD would also like to invite you on an educational tour of Rockcliffe on September 22nd. So we can all walk together and see where and how the Tory supporters and the rich live off the poor and the backs of the working people. Particular residences will be on our tour, on our guided tour, for a show and tell purpose, and we'll provide you information on the residences of those homes in terms of their finances, their corporate alliances, and which corporations they own. Bring your dogs, bring your friends, bring your family. Also, we'll be holding another general meeting at McNabb Recreation Center on September 12th, which is a Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So tonight I'm going to speak about the Common Front campaign and OCAT and what we need to do in Ottawa. First, OCAT is a group of local activists that came together in response to OCAT's call for a very strong need to fight the Harris government and to fight to win. We're comprised of a very broad cross-section of people, students, the working, the non-working poor, trade unionists, and independent citizens from the region. I want to talk just a little bit, too, about the recent QP Ontario conference. It was held in Ottawa at the end of May, and over 550 QP delegates voted in favor to support at least a one-day strike. In her address, QP National President Judy Darcy asserted that it is due time to coordinate action on a major scale in this province, and that this includes, quote, being prepared to take part in civil disobedience and economic disruption. OCAP will not stand alone, end quote. In June, at a QP 4600 executive meeting, a motion was passed to recommend that our local endorse the QP Ontario resolution and to build on the economic disruption campaign front with the intent of going on a general strike, not a one-day strike. OCAD is part of a wider group called the Common Front, which is comprised of, I think it's up to now, 75 different organizations from right around the province, including a lot of trade unionists, social justice groups, and anti-poverty groups. Another really important part of the campaign I think we really should start talking about is the formation of flying squads. Flying squad is an active cell within locals that provides solidarity support for actions to fellow brothers and sisters within the labor movement, but also to anti-poverty groups and social justice groups. They become a key part in the growing militancy of the labor movement and in the anti-Harris campaign. Several unions right across the province have formed these flying squads, and which have resulted in very successful actions. OCAT, for example, made a call, an emergency call, last weekend, to do an anti-eviction action because two young people living in the market area were going to be illegally evicted from the landlord. So we put out an emergency call, and we had two shifts for Friday night and for the Saturday morning. Group of people went out Friday night. The landlord was reminded that he must abide by the law, and we didn't need to go Saturday. The action was successful. CP-4600 has also had a flying squad that's been operating sort of informally, if you will, but acting nonetheless throughout the summer and the spring. We were supporting the strikers at the National Art Gallery, who also ended up winning what they were fighting for. Interested in signing up for what has become now sort of an Ottawa flying squad, because there's members from OPSU and CAW and also non-unionized workers who've joined, please put your name on the sign-up sheet just outside on the QP4600 table. We'd like to make a public announcement that OCAT will be there for any tenants facing whatever kind of evictions, legal or illegal, where the landlord is interested in jacking up the rent by turning over the tenancy. We'll be there for tenants, at the tribunals, when the landlord comes back, when and whenever. We in OCAT know that tenant protection no longer exists in this province. And this is just one of the many examples, courtesy of the Harris government, why we need to fight back and not wait for another election. Here's just a short list of your tax dollars at work. In Ontario, deadly water, crowded emergency rooms, tests for teachers, granting employers the legal right to make employees work for more hours and less pay, with the 60-hour work week, which went into effect yesterday, perversely enough, one day after Labor Day. Skyrocketing tuition, promoting WrestleMania, increasing poverty, reduced spending for the elderly in hospitals, increasing homelessness, no home care for the elderly, empowering landlords to evict tenants, giving the bosses legal rights to force employees to work in hazardous working conditions. This is Ontario, and it's yours to recover. Let's demonstrate to Harris and his political thugs that there's a huge difference between common sense and good sense. Every day, 50 young workers are injured on the job in Ontario. Over 18,000 injuries a year. Deaths from workplace diseases go largely unrecorded and uncompensated. They likely exceed deaths from workplace injuries. In Canada, one worker is killed every 2 hours of each working day. Despite these facts, the Harris government is destroying health and safety rules and their enforcement. The Tories have eliminated a life-saving legislation. In May 2001, these vital workers' rights went on the chopping block. Buried inside the 100-page Omnibus Bill 57, so-called Government Efficiency Act, are changes to health and safety laws that would gut a worker's right to refuse unsafe or hazardous working conditions and remove any requirements for employers to maintain an inventory of hazardous materials and weaken any enforcement. It's a real irony that on Friday, June 29th, the day that Mike Harris told the Walkerton Inquiry that nobody warned him about the risks, was the very same day that bill was given royal assent and proclaimed into law. As of this date, there has not been one single discussion with labor representatives about Bill 57. Because of the Harris regime, Ontario is quickly regressing to 19th century working conditions and living conditions. We are witnessing and experiencing a dangerous form of social cleansing, one that targets the poor, whether it be students, the under or non-employed, First Nations communities, the disabled, or the elderly. Social progress, to a large extent, can be measured by the laws designed to alleviate human suffering. But these laws, and I really want to emphasize this and remind everybody in this room, that these laws are the historical record and have a historical record of being won by direct action and economic disruption. We have the privileges we have today because of hard-fought and hard-won battles on behalf of working people over the past century. The The labor movement has been at the forefront fighting through direct action and economic disruption right from its earliest days. Striking is the greatest collective power we have. Let's strike back. Pensions, Medicare, the shorter workday, a living wage, the weekend, the right to organize, all of these were fought by workers in unions or trying to form unions. We not only owe it to our brothers and sisters who fought so hard and relentlessly in the past century for our privileges today, we also owe it to future workers of this province to act now. Socioeconomic position, no matter how comfortable we may feel we are, we have to realize we're all the targets. It is our social and moral responsibility to protect these essential rights and necessities for all workers and all citizens of this province. The fight has escalated beyond just protecting fundamental rights. It has now moved to one of recovering them. We have and we continue to lose our freedom, rights, and dignity under the Harris regime. What kind of government would put into legislation and put into effect the 60-hour work week a day after Labor Day? Well, I'll tell you, one government that clearly works against good sense and endangers not just education, healthcare, the environment, and human needs, but human lives. We cannot patiently and idly wait for another election in 3 years. It is our individual and collective responsibility to act now, build solidarity, and have a successful fall campaign before more workers die on the job, before more children starve or go hungry, or more single mothers receive a death sentence like Kimberly Rogers did in Sudbury, before more people die from drinking poisoned water, before more students have to forego or drop out of university or college because they can no longer afford it or find a place to live. Before more Native children are removed from their families and communities and brought down to the South. This is what we call the modern or the neo-civilizing process in Ontario. We need to act now before more social recipients are coerced into doing urine testing, before more people die on your streets, before more activists face political persecution and police brutality, such as our brothers and sisters in OCAP. And we've got to stop before more unarmed activists such as Dudley George get shot by a high-powered automatic sniper rifle 3 times in the heart by the OPP under the orders of Premier Harris.
Shame, shame.
Our entitlements today that have become so taken for granted are the direct results of direct actions of workers and unions for many decades. The foundation of this province was built by labor and struggle of workers. It was not built by government or bosses or landlords. We need to remember that the current privileges we enjoy are the historical result of workers who chose to fight and they fought for what was right and what was just. We need to remember the Tory government is not worker friendly, as the Harris regime has so clearly demonstrated. And simply complaining about them and their brutal policies will not help anyone or improve the living conditions in this province. The Tories are a clear and overt instrument of big business and the wealthy. Unless you're rich, they don't care about you. Let's keep reminding ourselves that we're all targets and that an injury to one really is an injury to all. Last year, Bolivia defeated the privatization of water through a general strike. Last year, QP3903 at York University struck and won a tuition fee rebate. And there are many more examples. The history of this country and the history of this province are based upon general strikes. That's a historical fact. We need to have core courage and we need to be innovative and resourceful. As Bobby Jackson, one of the activist truckers who participated on the Onto Ottawa March back in the 1930s said, "If progressive reforms are to be achieved, the people concerned must engage in militant struggle in the workplace and community." The Harris regime, which works only for corporations and the wealthy, are trying to roll back all of these advances. They want Ontario to be in total control of the rich and the powerful. They want to take us back to the 19th century. Are we going to let them do it?
No.
That's the key question facing us now. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you on the front lines and the Harris has been defeated celebrations afterwards. Solidarity.